Luke 7. We are continuing on with Get Your Hopes Up. And how many people this week were able to share hope with someone? Can you look back over your week and were you able to help them to get an expectation of God doing something in their lives this week? Amen? Because he is faithful. And we talked about how that in 1 Corinthians 13:13 it says that these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And we talked about that a lot of times people have faith and they have love. And it's like having faith is the body of the car and love is what drives it, but there's no engine. They're missing hope. So they have all this faith and they have all this love, but they're not going anywhere because it says in Hebrews chapter 11, 1, it says, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if you have nothing you're hoping for, then there's no substance. There's nothing there. Amen? And so we've been talking about getting our hopes up and that when someone tells you, oh, don't get your hopes up, you should turn around and say, yes, I am. I am getting my hopes up, and they are going to be high. Because we talked about in the first week about what did the Lord show Abraham? He showed him the stars, right? He got his focus off of what was here, and he put them up here. And that's where we need to be. We need to keep our hopes up. And last week, we were talking about, I knew I was going to do this. I didn't write it down. And last week we talked about the woman with the issue of blood and how that she had hope, finally. She had heard about Jesus. She had tried everything she could try. She had used all of her resources up, and she hears about Jesus because we talked about that Jesus becoming widely spread, who he was and what he could do. And all of a sudden, she got her hopes up. This could be my answer. And what did she say? If I could just touch him. If I could just reach out and touch him. And we've talked all along how we have a part to play, right? Amen? There is a part for us to play. Her part was to leave her home to do something that was totally against tradition of the day. You were not allowed, especially with when you had an issue of blood, to touch a man. That was not okay. And Jesus was considered a teacher or a priest in those days, a prophet, and she went against all that and reached out and touched him. So sometimes we have to go beyond what our religious teaching is and the philosophy of the day, and we got to reach out and touch Jesus. And her issue of blood stopped about 2 years later, right? 2 months later? Immediately. I love that word. Mark talks about suddenly, but I like immediately too. Those are both great words. Amen? And immediately something happened. And we were talking about last week that in our finances, sometimes we feel like we've done everything we can do and we've tried everything we can try and nothing is working until you reach out to Jesus. And then some of us expect it to be this long, awful, hard journey. Stop doing that. Don't limit God of what he can do. I'm believing for the immediately's. Amen? The immediately's, where it's immediately there when you need it. Amen? And so today we're going to continue on. And I know you might be thinking, Shelly, these stories, they're stories about finances. But you know what? God speaks to us through his word in all different kinds of ways. And last week we saw something that had gone on for years that was immediately fixed. So if your finances have been trouble for years, they can be immediately fixed, right? He's no respecter of persons. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whether it's your health, whether it's your finance, whether it's your family, you can put whatever it is that your need is in that space. Amen? And in Luke 7:11, it says this. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out. Now, let's be really clear here. A dead man. He's not alive. There's no breath in him. There's not an ounce of hope. He is dead. There is a dead man being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the opening coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up, and I love this, and began to speak. and he presented him to his mother. And we want to point out a couple things. He was dead. There was no life in him. He was gone. Even though she had a large crowd around her at this point, there are two facts that you need to realize. Her only son had died, and she was a widow. For us in this day and age, sometimes it's hard to grasp the concepts of these things, but to this widow, her son didn't just die. She lost everything. There was no longer a provider in the home. She would now become basically a ward of the church and would have to depend on others to provide for her. She had lost everything with this son. So the grieving that she was grieving was not just that her son was dead, which would have been a horrendous thing to face, but she was also looking at the future going, I have no hope. There's no answer now. My husband's gone. My only son is gone. Now what do I do? Have you ever felt like that in your finances? Have you ever looked at your finances and felt like there's nothing left? I don't know what to do, Lord. And it looks dead to you. Well, I'm here to tell you today, the Lord gave me a little acronym. That's why I'm on my phone in case you're wondering. I've got it written in my notes. HOPE stands for having our possibilities expanded. Again, HOPE stands for having our possibilities expanded. At this point, you can picture she's walking out the gate in this burial procession, and her possibilities were like this. There was none. No possibilities at this point. And then Jesus walks onto the scene. And you know, there's points in the scripture that we read out that people cry out to the Lord. They reach out to him. But sometimes, I know I've been there before in my finances, you can't even move. You're just stuck because it just seems impossible. And what does the Lord do? He has compassion. He has compassion, and he was moved. He was moved. And he went to her, and what did he say? Stop crying. Stop weeping. Stop taking on this burden of grief. I'm here now. And that's what the Lord is saying to you today in your finances. If they feel dead, if they feel like there is no hope, the Lord is saying to you today, stop grieving. Stop weeping over this. I am here now. And what does he say to the young man? He says, I say to you, young man, arise. And that's the voice you need to hear over your finances. As the Lord is speaking to our finances today, saying, arise. Arise. And when the Lord speaks to something, it happens. Amen. It doesn't say he laid there for a couple days. It doesn't say he laid there for a couple hours. It doesn't say he laid there for a couple of minutes. It says he sat up and began to speak. He sat up and began to speak. Now, I'll take a little liberty here. And I'm sure what he was saying, oh, mama, the things I saw, God has been so good. He's got this. He's going to take care of us. He's going to provide for us. I have seen the heavens. I know of his faithfulness. Our God is an awesome God. Amen? So when your finances turn around, and you know me, if it's a little thing, you should be shouting and praising just the same as if it's a big thing. Amen? I was talking to the lady that we go to have our car fixed. And this past month, we've had three things that have come up, either with our cars or something like that, that totaled about $1,000. And she was talking because we had a little sound in the engine. A check light came on, but they forgot to turn the check light off when they did our oil change, that kind of thing. So there's nothing wrong with it. But I just told her, I said, yeah, I said, I'm believing that there's nothing wrong with this sound, that it's all good, because I've already paid out $1,000 over this last month on car things. And the Lord just stopped me. He said, did you hear what you just said? I was like, yeah, I did. I paid it out. I didn't put it on something. I paid it out. We are coming to a place in our lives where we're not having to put it on something. We're paying it out. Amen. So what used to be something that was dead, the Lord has arisen in our finances, and we're having life. And sometimes, yeah, it's not what I would have wanted to spend it on. But then the Lord turns around, and it's been the cry of my family for months to get a new treadmill, because I have kids that work out all the time, and they don't want to jog around the neighborhood because they might look bad and someone might see them. And so I won't point fingers. But in the midst of this money going out, I walk into Walmart, and there is a treadmill that's like half off. It was well within something that I could pay out at the moment, had the finances for, and so my family got blessed. Can I tell you what I wanted that money for that I had to put in the car and the tires? A new treadmill. Do you see how good God is? That when he brings life to something, his blessing is there. But we need to remember to share when God has been good. Why? Because having our possibilities expanded in 1 second, Jesus said, arise, and that woman's possibilities went from nothing to everything. Amen? So get your hopes up. Having our possibilities expanded, and you may say, Shelley, I work the same job, it's the same bills, it's the same thing, it can't change. Yes, it can. As soon as Jesus comes onto the scene, something happens. Amen? And that's what's going to start happening in our finances. It is amazing to me. Last year, I was super excited that by, I think it was the beginning of November, we had paid 3 of our missionaries. And this year, it's September. Do you see what God is doing? Those finances aren't just things that float in from somewhere else. They're coming from you and from Pastor Steve and I. It's because God is expanding our possibilities and things are changing in the supernatural realm, where we're not waiting till the last minute to hand out missionaries' checks. We're handing them out ahead of time. That's what Jeremiah said. You guys don't normally send ours until September. We got it in June. What's going on? Our God is faithful. Do you see? It's like that rock that's thrown into a puddle or a pond. It just keeps going and going and going, because when your hope has been met, when it's the engine is revving and you're moving and you're going places, what do people do when they see a cool car? Whoop. Whoa, did you see that? They talk about it for like 10 minutes later. Oh, I couldn't believe it. What was that one we saw? The M1, Maserati. We saw one of those the other day, and we're all like, what is that? It's a Maserati. What? No way. Because it makes an impact. When your life passes by somebody, you should make an impact. They should go, what in the world is going on in that family? What is all that hope going on? Woo! Things are happening. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much today for the hope that we have in you. These 3 things remain: faith, hope, and love. And Father, we got a lot of faith and a lot of love. Now help us to have a lot of hope. Help us to get excited about things, to set our expectations on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. When you begin something, you end it. And we praise you today, Father, for supernaturally moving and working in everyone's finances in this room. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to begin thinking and seeing things in a new way. We're going to see them through the eyes of hope. We're going to begin seeing them through the eyes of hope. And we're going to begin getting excited at what you're doing. Help us never, never to forget where we've come from and where we are today. Help us to remember all the blessings that you have blessed us with, Father, and know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you will be our provider. You will provide for all our needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. We praise you and we thank you for bless every seed that is sown today. Multiply that seed to the sower so that we can give to every good work and we can spread hope to everyone we know. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, let's pray over this message today and just get right into it. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you for this word today that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to respond to what your Spirit is saying today. We give you the praise and the glory for the works the Holy Ghost is doing in the Northwest. In Jesus' name, we'll give you all the praise and glory and all the work he's doing in each of our individual lives. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is involved in every detail of our lives. Amen. Nothing is left out. As far as we'll let him go, he'll go. Amen. So we just need to do better about giving him everything, don't we? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, today we're going to continue on the redeemed life is. And next week and the week after that, we're gonna focus on a couple of Israel holidays that are coming in the fall. One is called Rosh Hashanah. Everybody say Rosh Hashanah. And then Yom Kippur. Say Yom Kippur. Now, why in the world would we do that? Well, because Israel is a significant part of the Bible, and the church needs to be more aware of these things. But here's where I might be a little bit unique, is I need to know where Jesus is in this thing. And each one of those holidays have to do with something about his return. And that's 100% of what I'm going to be talking about. Amen? Because Jesus, how many know way back thousands of years ago, they were telling everybody, he's coming, right? And then guess what? He came. And then he left. And now guess what? We get to tell people again. He's coming. Somebody say, he's coming. Amen. And these holidays are significant dates on God's calendar that remind us and remind the world. This is why he said, you know, celebrate these feasts to his people forever, basically, right? They are rehearsals, reminders that somebody say, he's coming. Amen. So that's what I'm excited about it. Praise the Lord. We ought to get up every day excited about Jesus' return. Because don't you know, when he comes, no matter how great your life is right now, it's going to be, somebody say, way better. And if you're a believer, your life is getting better, right? Every day, you're closer to heaven. Whether Jesus comes and takes us home all at once, which that would be great. How many of you are rooting for that? Where the trumpet sounds and we're all out of here at one time. Or does anybody know anybody in your life right now that's like 150 years old? Nope. What about 140? Nope. 137? Nope. So guess what? If God just delays his, I've heard Keith Moore say this, if God delays his coming by a fingernail, right? The Bible says to God, a day is as 1,000 years, right? So if he just says, I think I'll come back in a few minutes, that means everyone in this room is going through the grave. Amen? Now, what we got to get over is the idea that that means something awful is going to happen to you. No. Somebody say no. No. If and when that time comes, you'll go to sleep and wake up in heaven. Praise God. Amen to that. But the thing to remember is this. Jesus is coming soon. Somebody say, Jesus is coming soon. And we should wake up every day with that anticipation. Today could be the day. He could come today before we say amen. Right? He could come today before the Sunday night football game. Yeah, that's right. Amen. So somebody just say, be ready. Be ready. Be prepared. Have your bags packed. Amen. Don't be in love with things in this world. No matter how nice your car is, how nice your house is, there's something nicer. Everybody say, there's something nicer. There's something way nicer that's on the other side of this thing for you. Praise the Lord. But we're going to continue today for one more message anyway on the redeemed life is, and our foundation text is Psalm 107:2. And I kind of, in my imagination, I see this as kind of our Welcome to Redeemed Church class in the future, right? Where there's four topics. The redeemed life is the forgiven life. How many know Joe, somebody coming off the street that knows nothing about the Word of God or maybe has been away from God? These are just some of the fundamentals, right? The redeemed life is the forgiven life. The redeemed life, because why? Because Jesus forgives me of my sins, right? The redeemed life is the full life, because why? Because Jesus baptizes me in the Holy Spirit. The redeemed life is the free life, right? Jesus sets me free from the curse. And today we're going to look at the redeemed life is the faithful life. Somebody say the redeemed life is the faithful life. And in parentheses there, if you have your notes, or if some, I provide notes if you like notes, or you can take notes or whatever, right? It's up to you. But in parentheses there, it says, Jesus is my first love. Everybody say, Jesus is my first love. And I've heard, like I was talking about Keith Moore a little bit, that he talks about being more cautious about how we use the word love. Because we get so casual with it. Well, I love pizza. Well, I love Maseratis. Well, I love Saturdays. Right? Well, love, we should talk about, we appreciate Maserati, we like them, right? I enjoy my house, but I love you. I love God. I love God's people. Amen? Praise the Lord. We need to take things down off the pedestal of love. And when we talk about Jesus is my first love, somebody say that means he's first. He comes first. Even before you, even before your spouse, your kids. What does that mean? I've explained this to my kids before because, you know, I tell them, you know what that means, kids? That means if dad all of a sudden tomorrow decided I ain't serving God no more, it's a bunch of bunk. That faith thing is a bunch of garble and I don't believe it and I ain't doing it. Well, you have a choice. You could follow dad or you could follow Jesus. And in that case, I know you're going to say, I choose Jesus. I love you, dad, but I love him more. Somebody say, I love him more. Praise the Lord. And that's a good example. Well, my kids aren't following God. My grandpa ain't following God. The movie stars, the musicians that I love aren't following. Why should I follow God? Because you love him more. Now, you pray for them. You love folks, but you don't make your decisions based on what somebody else is doing. Right? Amen. That's called living a faithful life. And you know why you can live a faithful life, church? Because the faithful one lives on the inside of you. Somebody say, the faithful one lives on the inside of me. Now, a lot of this stuff isn't in your notes because it doesn't come until I start preaching it. So, amen. But this is why the Lord, you know how the Lord leads me? I've heard pastors talk about, well, I spend 16 hours preparing for a message. Not me. I just don't. I don't think about every illustration and nothing against anybody else. But I start with the Word. I start with the Scriptures. And then as you start preaching, if you're, you know, the way I do it anyway, is it just starts coming to me. So be ready to write something down if it jumps out at you, because it's not Steve. It's the Holy Ghost. When he says, tell them the faithful one lives on the inside of them. That's why they will be faithful to me. Amen? Because I don't know about you, but I got things in my life that bother me about me. That maybe don't seem faithful to God. Well, the Holy Ghost has corrected that. Call yourself faithful because the faithful one lives on the inside of you. Yesterday, late evening, I had to crawl under my house. And I was not too happy about it because a vent screen got busted out into our crawl space. And I know some things about mice and rodents. And I thought, I have to fix that right now. I was out barbecuing, you know, and thought, I got to crawl under my house. Well, I crawled under my house, had my respirator on and my drill and fixed that screen, and I had forgotten how nice under my house is, because I've been under some houses. And it's dry, and there's black plastic covering the dirt and the insulation, and I'm thinking, oh, we have a nice house. But the thing that jumped out at me was all the pier posts that we have, the pier posts that are holding up the house. I've been in some houses, and it's like there's hardly any pier posts. It's like, what is holding this house up? Well, ours, I don't know, there must be 40 of them down in there. And I thought, man, this house ain't moving anywhere. These pier posts are what's going to keep this house faithful. It isn't going to be swayed, it isn't collapsing, because I see these are, there's no termite damage, they're not in the dirt getting, you know, moisture in them. This is a faithful house. And it made me feel better about what I had to do. Amen? Well, you are faithful. The redeemed life is the faithful life. Jesus is your first love, and you will be faithful because the faithful one lives on the inside of you. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in this for a little while, and I've seen change in my life over the years, right? I've seen how God has brought me from issue to issue to issue to issue to issue, and that encourages me for tomorrow, right? Because the faithful one is living on the inside of me. And I know I'm becoming more and more. How many know the idea of this whole thing is that we become more like him? Not that he becomes more like us. Right? Amen? I'm not interested in a Jesus that's becoming more and more like me. I want to become more and more like him. Right? And how many know Jesus is not sick? He doesn't have a disease. He doesn't have the flu. He is rich. I mean, rich isn't even the right word for where Jesus lives now. The Lord was telling me that the other day. He's like, you know, son, with all this poverty and stuff, it isn't changing me. I'm not giving up the streets of gold and the mansions and because there's some folks that are impoverished on the planet. I'm not changing for that. It's like, what? No, we can become more like him. He wants to bring you up to his level. See, religion wants to put you down. God, the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, wants to lift you up. There's a scripture that says you and I are seated together with him in heavenly places. Somebody say heavenly places. And I'm believing for heavenly places on this planet too. Heavenly places. A heavenly church building, right? This is heaven. This is nice. But this isn't the end of all, right? Heavenly houses, a house at the coast. Why not a house in Southern California where I like to go? Why not a house in Central Oregon where I like to see? Why not? Well, who do you think you are? Well, I'm a son of God, for starters. My dad has no lack, no shortage, and I'm his heir. Amen. How do you inherit something? Somebody has to die and pass it on to you. Well, guess what? Somebody died and passed that blessing on to his people. The issue is a lot of his people don't know it. Don't know what belongs to them. Think they have to live an unfaithful life. Amen. Well, that's what the grace is for, because he knows I'm going to flop. Well, somebody say, I'm done with excuses. No more excuses for flopping. I love how in the NBA now, they actually call penalties on guys who flop. Right? The big guy that flops to the ground. Oh, this like 5'6" dude runs over him. Oh, this 7-footer just flops to the ground. The ref goes, no, that penalty's on you because you faked it. You flopped. That's a flopping foul, right? Well, Christians, we got to stop making excuses for sins and for problems in our lives. And, oh, well, that's how grandpa was. That's this habit I've got. That's this, oh, no. You know, 79% of all people in the body of Christ struggle with that. So, oh, well, you know, no. Somebody say, no more excuses. Jesus finished the work. And my faith is in him, And the Word of God, so far as I know, leaves no room for excuses. Amen? Praise the Lord. That was the opening to this, I think, right? So, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 says this. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Don't you know God is looking for faithful people to promote, to advance, to lift up, right? To use. Hallelujah. And the word faithful, I love all these words. This came from the concordance yesterday, and it was just rich, right? Faithful means words like established. What are we established on as believers? We're somebody, if you got your Bible or your phone, whatever you got your Bible on, just shake it. This is what I'm established on. The Word of God. Amen? The Word of God is what we're established on. And Jesus, if you look at John chapter 1, it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when we talk about the Word, it's a synonym for Jesus. Right? So we're established on His Word. It means trustworthiness. Say trustworthiness. It means truth. Truth. To build or support. To foster as a parent or nurse. Hallelujah, right? To render firm. To believe. To be permanent or quiet. To be true or certain. Of long continuance. Boy, that one jumps out at me too, right? No, somebody say there's no quitters. You can't be a quitter and be faithful. Well, I believed that by his stripes I'm healed for 3 days and nothing happened. Well, it's like I was listening to Gloria Copeland teaching a healing school on CD yesterday, and she said, well, that problem in your life probably didn't happen in a few days. So why don't you give God a little bit longer to help you with that? It may not just change in a few days. Probably took years and years for that mess you're in to develop. So you might want to give God more than a few days. Somebody say long continuance. That's faithfulness. Faithfulness. Steadfast. I like this. To go to the right hand. Where's Jesus seated right now? At the right hand of the Father. Why? Because he's the faithful one. And it says you and I in the Spirit are seated together with him in heavenly places. Praise the Lord. So simultaneously, while your body and soul are here, your spirit is seated with Jesus in heaven. Hallelujah. That's why you don't have to pray the glory down. Pray the glory down. Pray that you're right there in the glory. If you're born again, you don't. All you got to do is get in the Word, see what the Word has to say, and say that. Amen. We'd be better off spending more time in worship before the Lord and praising Him and finding things to be thankful for, right? What does that do? It brings the glory up on the inside of you. That's where the glory doesn't need to come out from the outside of you. It comes up from on the inside of you. Because that's where He is. Amen. Praise the Lord. It means sure or verified. Verified. Amen. You go through some of these places where you have to have security checks to get in, they have to verify you. Right? Retina scan, whatever it is. You have a special ID card or, you know, amen. I've heard that the airports soon are going to have to use more than a driver's license to get you on an airplane. There's going to be a special new driver's license that verifies that you're an American citizen. Right? Amen. Well, guess what verifies you? You're born again. If you're born again, you are verified. You are a son or daughter of God. Amen? And the faithful one lives on the inside of you. Somebody say, I'm faithful because he's faithful. Amen. Now, this to me is the biggest issue right here. Somebody say, stay in love with Jesus. And I've seen this through the years, is people will come, get saved. This is why I can see this as sort of a class, right? Welcome to the born-again life. the redeemed life. Here's some of the basics. Because what I've seen, not a lot, but I've seen this, where people get saved, they get all excited, and they get a little victory in their life, and then something happens, and they're gone. What happened? They weren't faithful. They quit. They gave up. They got frustrated. They got whatever, back into sin or whatever. Somebody say, even if the sin comes back up, don't leave the church. That's what the church is for. Even if some bad thing happens and you just feel like a biggest flop and failure and all the biggest, you know, the south end of a northbound mule, you come to church anyway. You don't let anything keep you away from Jesus. You don't let anything keep you out of the herd. This is the herd, right? The church you're in, the flock, the military garrison that you're assigned to. Don't get off by yourself or you'll get nutty. Right? And what are the lions looking for? They're looking for the little sheep or whatever that's off by himself. Somebody say, no matter what. No matter what, I'm not, that's called, you know what that is? That's loving Jesus more than you despise yourself. Why will I come to church today? Because Jesus paid the price for me to be here. I remember a story where he said, where are your accusers? Right? I don't accuse you either. So you don't let anything keep you away from church, away from Jesus. Well, yeah, but I feel so bad about it. What did you just say? I feel. I got to love God deeper than how I feel today. Because I don't know about you, but I don't always feel happy. Right? We were listening to Jesse's weekly broadcasts, and he was probably back in the 80s or something. And he said, have you ever gotten up and just feeling like, blah? He said, I just rebuke the devil. I rebuke you, Satan, right? That's how we got to, what is that? That's being faithful. What am I saying? Lord, I believe this over how I feel today. I believe your blood is strong enough to cleanse me of what I did 30 seconds ago. Because you know, when you're off, you know. The instant I start drifting off, I know. So somebody say, Lord, make me quick. Make me quick. That's what the Holy Ghost is called, the quickener. He isn't coming to condemn you, but he will quicken you back to him, back to himself. Amen? He's faithful. Well, look at this. Staying in love with Jesus. Revelation 2:4 says this. Jesus is speaking to this church, and he says, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Somebody say, don't leave him. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, but he didn't say, I'll keep you from ever leaving me. Amen? Don't leave him. Never. Somebody say, never. Don't leave him. Hallelujah. He's the faithful one. Yeah, but what have I got in common with a faithful one? What have I got in common with somebody that's not sick, that's not broke, that's not depressed, that doesn't have a sin problem? Exactly. Somebody say exactly. That's why we come to him. That's why we come to him. Hallelujah. Every day. And you'll become more. How many of you hear that thing, you are who you hang out with? You'll become more like him. Instead of hanging out with the Family Guy or CNN, right? Hang out with Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew 22:37 says this, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Somebody say, I love him with all. I love him with all that I am. Now, this could be a faith statement. Lord, I declare today that I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a good declaration to make every day. I'm not leaving your side today, Jesus. Well, how do we stay with him? Well, stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Keep worship going. Put the word first. I have to remind myself of that daily because I want to get into my truck and listen to sports. Because why? Because I want to be lazy. What? That's all it is laziness. Somebody say, turn the word on first. And then if there's time toward the end of the day, listen to some sports. But don't, I mean, as a general rule, keep the word going. Keep it. Somebody say, keep it going. Hallelujah. The more we fellowship with him, the more like him we're going to be. Amen. Look at the rewards. There's a couple of rewards of faithfulness right here. Who's interested in reward? There's rewards for faithfulness right here. Proverbs 28:20 says this, a faithful man will abound with blessings. Hallelujah. Why? Because he earned them? No, just because he received them. He refused to quit. She refused to quit. So she's walking more and more like God. God abounds with blessings. So if you hang out with God, you'll abound with blessings too. Simple as that. Amen. I think Sister Gloria said this in her CD yesterday. The more you hang out with God and his word, the less sick you'll be. The less depressed you'll be. Amen. We could say the less poor, the more rich, the more healthy, the more happy and joyful you will be. Because you're hanging out with God. Amen. You're putting him first. Amen. Praise the Lord. And she talked about also being doers of the word, not hearers only. So Holy Ghost, what does this mean I have to do or stop doing? Steve, listen to less sports today and more word. Okay, I'll get to that pretty soon. Now, when he tells you something, when is it time to do it? Now. If he's commander in chief, it's now. Praise the Lord. Steve, turn off the news and turn on some worship. I've been doing that lately too, where I'll just say, you know what? I feel this kind of oppression trying to come on me. It's time for a worship break. And I'll turn on Christian radio and flip through till I find a song that's actually good. And hallelujah! You have to know the difference because there's songs in there. I'd rather listen to KGON. Some of them, you know. Oh, I'm worthless. I'm nothing, but you are every... Oh, come on. I don't need that. Let's get back to exalting Jesus. Amen? You know, just because it says Christian radio, praise God for Christian radio, but it doesn't mean you have to listen to every song. It's like sermons. Just because somebody's preaching something doesn't mean you have to listen to it. No. Bounce it off what Jesus has accomplished on your behalf. That's where the Holy Ghost can help you. Right? What has he done? Is it telling you, well, even though God put that disease on you, let's try station number two. Amen. What are you doing? You're loving Jesus more than that radio station. You're loving Jesus more than that issue they're making such a big deal about. Pray for it. Amen. Take authority over the storms. Don't talk about how great the storm is. Tell the storm how great your God is. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got to wrap this up. Hallelujah. Matthew 25:23. His Lord said to him, well done. Say, well done. Good and faithful servant. Now, that's the words every one of you are going to hear when you walk into Jesus, when you walk into heaven. Jesus is going to find you and say, well done. Good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of our Lord. What does that remind you of? That tells me this. Heaven, there's going to be a reward system. Not everybody's walking into the same inheritance in heaven. Amen? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful with the things I gave you in life. Now you help me with this. Some people, he'll say, welcome to heaven, you got in, but it's time for you to go to kindergarten class for 10,000 years. And it'll be an awesome kindergarten class. I mean, you will have the best time of your life. But if you're faithful, amen, and you walk into heaven and Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant, You were faithful over the things I gave you to be faithful with. Now look at what you get to do now. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Everybody stand up on your feet and just lift your hands to the Lord and thank him for that he is faithful. Everybody thank him that he is the faithful one and he's living on the inside of you and you're becoming more like him today. Hallelujah. Just say this out loud. Father God, I thank you. You are the faithful one and you're living on the inside of me and I'm becoming more like you. I receive everything you have for me today. I say yes to you and no to myself, no to the issues of my flesh, and yes to the Holy Ghost in every area of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, just thank him for that. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you, and we receive all that you are, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. You are dismissed. Have a blessed day. There is coffee and lots of refreshments.